Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
In sharing this year's vision, I asked last week four questions, and I want to continue on with answering those this week. I asked four questions. We answered three of them last week, so I want to get to the fourth one this week. The three questions, the first one was, where were we when the church was doing a really good job in our society, in our country? Where were we when the church was doing a really good job? You might say, well, what do you mean? Aren't they still now? Well, I'm going to talk about that. The second question that I asked is, where are we now? Where are we? The third question is, how do we get where we are? How do we get? And then the fourth one was, how do we get back if we were right before? All right, here's what I answered last week, these three first three questions. Where were we when we were right as a church body? Now, I believe that a lot of this was before most of us were even born, but there was a time where, and if you go back a couple thousand years, the establishment of the New Testament church, I read where there wasn't an altar service where people would come forward to accept Jesus. I didn't read where somebody raised their hand and say a little prayer. I read that they heard the word and they believed. All through Scripture. Well, how did they get saved? They heard the word and they believed. They heard the word and they believed. They heard the word and said, okay, I'm there. That's what I want. See, sometimes it was thousands at a time. Sometimes it was one at a time. But there was a talk at that day and time where they understood it as the word of God went out and someone believed. They believed that their whole life would be changed right then and there, and it was. A whole life change. A conversion took place. It was no looking back. A brand new life. The disciples, when they encountered Jesus, what did they do? All 12 of them, they left their life, didn't look back, and walked to Christ. All 12 of them. I mean, the perfect example of the first 12. The second question, well, where are we? Here's where we're at. 80% of America checking the Christian box. And even some of them coming to church on Sunday. But yet accepting sin like it's no big deal. If you weren't here last week, you need to pick up last week's CD as I shared the vision of what was going on. But that's where we find ourselves here in America. I was talking to a foreman of a business this week, and his job was the foreman. And I was just saying, here's what needs to happen. You just need to get all 12 guys that you're in charge of to just go to church and get accepting Christ. And that's what you, well, obviously that's the answer we all need. But that's what I was telling them. That's all you need to do is just get all of them go. Like that's a simple task. Here, that's all you need to do is just get all them guys saved. Get them all going to church and getting them sold out to the Lord. And I'm just telling, that's all you need. And he said, four out of the 12 of us go to church. I said, that's awesome. Huh, did you not hear me? Four out of the 12 go to church. I said, that's awesome. You got four guys that's going to live right in front of eight others. Yeah, but the eight others, they say they're Christians. There's where we find America. That's exactly what I'm preaching. That's our whole vision I'm talking about this year. Four of them go to church and are doing what the word says. Eight of them say they're Christians yet don't follow the teachings of the Bible. That's where we find America. 80% checking the Christian box yet not doing anything it says. Where are we? Can you not answer that every day of your life? I mean, I'm not, that illustration wasn't here last Sunday. That just came about this week. And it just verified exactly what I'm talking about. Number three that we answered last week, how did we get where we're at now? Well, I talked about, and I'm not going to go into all of this. I just want to make sure that we have a foundation where we're starting with today. Americans have always wanted to measure success, and we've needed to in our society. However, that thought process creeped its way into the church, and the church had to start measuring success. And the only thing that you can measure as a success immediately after a service is how many got saved or how many were at the altar crying. Well, how was church today? It was awesome. We had 14 people saved. It was awesome. We had 20 people saved. It was awesome. We had 36 people saved. And I've heard this in churches my whole life. One person telling me how many people got saved in a church that has 50 to 70 people and they get 10 people saved every week. They ought to be running 5,000, but they're still running 70 people. That's what we find happening in denominational churches today. And if they're not about getting saved, they just talk about how many were at the altar crying and how many people, oh, it was just a fabulous service because it's all about emotion. And if we can get enough emotion in a service, then we can say that was a successful service. And here was what I really felt impressed last week to share. It's very important that we understand this, because I think if we're going to answer how do we get where we're at, is we lost the mindset of learning daily from the Word and letting it impact us over life. How was today's service? I don't know. I'll let you know in 10 years. I really got a kick out of how many young people shared that with their parents, and my phone was ringing off the hook or text this week. People were, how was service Sunday night? Y'all had youth, didn't you, last Sunday night? How was service? And some of the parents had asked their kids when they got home from youth, how was service? Mom, Dad, I don't know. I'll let you know in 10 years. I don't know how it was. Praise God. See, we're not going to measure it on one emotional event. We're not going to measure life on one hand raise. What we're going to do is we're going to measure success based on living the life of Christ. So, now we understand where we're at. What we've got to ask today is, how do we get back where we were? Hearing the Word and saved, and your whole life changes. Hearing the Word and believing and going out of here, and I'm not the same person anymore. We just got too many coming to God's house, and I know this is not going to be a popular message this year. I got that. But we've got to quit playing church. Come on. We got to start being sincere and real and genuine. See, every sermon became a salvation message over the last couple hundred years since the 1920s. Just kept, come on, y'all come forward, come on. Everybody come down front. And then we got people that wouldn't come down front, so we're preaching hellfire and brimstone. You're going to go to hell. You need to get saved. How many of y'all don't want to go to hell? Me. Well, you're saved. Count those hands. Who wouldn't want to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go to hell. And what has happened is, over the last 100 years in the church here in America, is we have understood Jesus to be Savior, but we've lost the concept that Jesus is Lord. And once again, the controversial thing that I'm bringing up today, I don't read anywhere in Scripture to be saved that you can have Him as Savior and not Lord. To be saved, He's got to be Lord. The church has missed what it means to be saved. They've missed what it means to give your life to the Lord. They understand, I want a ticket to heaven, but they don't understand a submission and a servanthood and an excitement about the things of God. See, salvation is not slipping a hand up with no one looking. That's not what happened in the early church. Salvation is living a repented life from sin, a change in your lifestyle. No one is self-serving anymore. I'm serving Jesus. That's what I'm doing. A change from you being Lord to Jesus being Lord. And that's our vision this year. Y'all make sure and grasp a hold of that, because that's what we'll be talking about. And every sermon should be pointing to that this year. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. My Bible tends to just open up to Philippians because there's so much good in there, and I tend to read a lot from Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 9. Therefore God elevated Him to the place of highest honor and gave Him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Today, at the name of Jesus, sickness must leave. So when you get a hold of that, and you, well, that was awesome, that was wonderful. When you get a hold of that and you live that every day, sickness has got to leave. It's not just a Sunday morning understanding, it's a life understanding. Well, Pastor, I agree, amen, that was good, that was great, until I go to work tomorrow morning and I don't feel good. So Jesus has got to be Lord, not just on Sunday morning, he's got to be Lord on Monday morning. Jesus being Lord, your thoughts, your actions, your desires, no longer living by the desires of the flesh, all of that being gone, a new life under the Lordship of Jesus. The church, preaching freedom in America. It wasn't the United States teaching freedom. It was the church preaching freedom that got the freedom that we walk in as far as the United States is concerned. It was the church teaching, the Word of God teaching freedom that led us to the Revolutionary War. If you study anything about it, you may not see that, but if you'll study some of what David Barton and Christian historians have put out, you'll start to see that that's exactly what happened. It was the church preaching freedom. The church preaching freedom. The pastors are the ones who pulled off their robe, picked up their musket, and walked out the back door of the church and led America to a complete destroying of the enemy. It was the pastors who did that. Now, I want you to understand, that's what the church did. Where's the church in America today? There's a difference. There's a difference. See, calling Jesus Lord means that there is a submission to him. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9, confess Jesus as Lord. It doesn't say confess him as Savior. It says confess him as Lord. I want to really get into that because I'm not here to say that he's not Savior. Please don't hear that today. It's because he was our Savior that we can call him our Lord. I want you to get this because it's very important. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Turn over there with me. 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Young people, I wish you'd get this one, because I'm telling you, you are leaving mom and dad's counsel at about 12, 13 years old. You're like, okay, you start kind of bucking against what mom and dad are saying at 13, 14, and 15, and you start, oh, I don't really want to hear what mom and dad have to say. I want to do my own thing. And you may not say it like that, but that's what's going on in your mind. And, oh, my mom and dad, and on and on and on. And see, what happens is you got to understand that if you separate yourself from the process of understanding that mom and dad know what's going on, that mom and dad are good counsel, there's a good chance you'll separate from the Holy Spirit being good counsel. Mom and dad, y'all can amen this one a lot. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, that if you have accepted Jesus and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not talking to a heathen. I'm talking about someone who got saved, was baptized, and understands what that means. Then you don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't belong. You're not your own. You're not your, see, for God in verse 20, God bought you with a high price, not just a price. He paid a high price. So you've got to honor God, it says, with your body. You're not your own. On Friday night, be careful that your body's not taking part in something it needs to not be a part of. And I can be talking sexual. I can be talking alcoholic. I can be talking about an environment that you're in you don't need to be in. Whatever. You got to watch and understand that your body's not your own. God purchased it and you accept the sale. You said, I'm here. Or did you? Come on, did you or did you not? Did you get saved or not? That's what we need to talk about. Now, if you got saved, then your body's not your own. You better watch what you're doing on Friday night. That's not just for young people. Come on. You better watch what you're doing. Your body's not your own. You're under a different lordship. See, once you accept his salvation that only comes in the name of Jesus, then you say, I'm not my own anymore. This is not a popular message. In today's world, do whatever you think. Come on, how you feel. Truth is all relative. And that's how, if you don't want to go to church today, it's okay. Just enjoy yourself. And no big deal. And that's how we're treating life. You don't want to go to youth. Don't worry about it. You just do whatever you want. Come on. What do you mean you don't want to go to youth? What are you going to do that's going to draw you closer to the things of God than youth would? My own lordship. My question is, did you get bought? Did you get bought? Oh, Pastor, that's just kind of stepping on some toes. I'm just talking scripture. That's what I'm doing. So if it steps on toes, maybe you ought to put the other one out there and get them both so you can't walk until you get it fixed. Let's just look at salvation for a second. And we're going to get into more of this later. But today, if I'm going to get caught up on teaching that Jesus is Lord and not just Savior, I want to make sure that we don't miss why I say that Jesus needs to be Lord. And I got to just say, I don't see Savior and Lord as separate. They're together. Salvation must happen if you're going to be called a Christian. Salvation's got to happen if you're going to be. But it is not a one stop at salvation and you're done. Whoa, wait a minute here. I thought that we're not a works. Follow what I'm saying here. When I say he cannot be Savior without him being Lord, what do I mean? What do I mean? Does that mean that you've got to work your way? Nope, that's not what I'm saying. So you got to hear it. You have to really hear what's being said here. Salvation. Jesus came, lived a sinless life, paid the debt for our sins that we could not pay. I'll get into more on that later. So when we come to the point of acknowledging that we are sinners and that we're in need of Christ and what he did on the cross at Calvary, what do we do? What happens? And why do we do that? Why would anybody need to get saved? Here's the first answer that most people would give: to escape the penalty of sin. And they may not say it like that. What they would say is, so that I don't have to go to hell and I get to go to heaven. That's what most people would say. And they would be right. They would be right. See, it allows you to escape hell and have eternity in heaven. But hear me. God sent his son to die for you for a reason. He sent Jesus for a reason. What was that? To reestablish a relationship that sin had caused a separation from. He came to reestablish a relationship with him. He desires to hang out with you. Why wouldn't you want to go to youth? If you want to hear me quit preaching this, then you're not going to be able to come anymore, because all year I'm talking about this. Why wouldn't you want to be in Sunday school? Why wouldn't you want to take advantage of everything you could to grow in more knowledge of him and to experience him as Lord? Because I really don't want all of it. I just want heaven. That's right. But he wanted to reestablish a relationship with you. Really good. See, there's a difference. Well, really, really. What is? He intended it from the beginning to have a relationship with man. Adam and Eve in the garden. He wanted a relationship. He put Adam and Eve down here, our whole vision last year, to take care of the earth. That's why Adam and Eve were here, and that he would walk with them and talk with them and enjoy fellowship and time together. When that got separated because of sin and a mess up, and there was a gulf between us and God, he sent Jesus so that we could reestablish that relationship and he could once again walk and talk and enjoy time with us. Well, I appreciate that God put the church up, and that's why I go on Sunday mornings, but I'm just not really interested in much else than that. Why did he die for you? Why did you accept him as Lord and Savior? It was a gift that you were given to allow you to be free from the penalty. But please hear the whole picture. It gives you the opportunity to be free from the penalty on Friday night just as well as Sunday morning. It gives you the ability to be free from the consequences of sin on a daily basis. But what does that is your connection with him. You're accepting of him. I believe wholeheartedly we're three-part beings, and when you get saved, your spirit's as right with God as it'll ever be, but that mind needs salvation daily. That body needs salvation daily because there's temptations, there's junk in the flesh that's drawn. See, there is now power on a daily basis to live a life and enjoy the future that he promised, to live life here on earth, the abundant life, to keep the effects of the thief stealing, killing, and destroying from you, from your body, from your family, from your kids, from your marriage. There's all that available, but we don't walk in that because we just are Sunday mornings, I got saved. And that's how we think, and we don't experience the fullness of Jesus as Lord. We just experience him as Savior. And my point that I'm trying to make today is, if you haven't reestablished that relationship with him, then you didn't get the whole benefit of salvation, and you haven't made him Lord, and I don't see in Scripture where they're separate. See, there ought to be a desire to serve him. A want to be around the things of God. There ought to be a desire. Well, I just don't have a desire. You need to get saved. Well, I just don't have a desire to go and be around. You know what? It took a desire for a lot of y'all to get out at 9 degrees this morning and come to church. Praise God. So I'm not going to whoop you all day. I want you to understand that's a great thing. I'm preaching today to a lot of people who have shown through commitment their desire and their excitement to be in the presence of God. Not to say that there are some elderly and other people that may have needed to stay home today. But what I'm telling you is if you're here today, you showed a desire to be here. Salvation means freedom from something. What's that something? Penalties, consequences, the messed up life. It also means that there is a desire to be submitted to the Lordship of Jesus, to develop and work on a relationship. Why would you accept his salvation without accepting his Lordship? Because we haven't been taught this. All we've said is, come on, don't go to hell, go to heaven, and we haven't taught the submission to Jesus. Just get saved and then that'll come. The problem is we've got 80% in America that were told that and it's never came. Preachers quit preaching it. What it means to be saved, it means you are headed into disaster. You are getting ready to fall off a cliff. Your life was headed towards ruins and you realized you didn't have to go that way anymore because there's another route that Jesus made available to you. And so you said, sure, I'll take that route. There's a better plan. There's a better life. So you start taking that better life, and he gets you over here, and then you just tend to head right back over to destruction. What does it mean to be saved? It means that I took another route, and I don't want to live that life anymore. He showed me a new life. I'm so appreciative that he showed me that. So I'm going to follow all of what he has asked me to do. And I'm going to walk daily in that new life. Not just once, the day I got saved when I was 8, 12 years old, 15, 20. Well, I got saved. And then you never walk the life of a Christian. You're still walking in disaster. I don't understand this. But that's what happens with people because they haven't been taught. The idea of repent is very important, but the idea of turning is equally as important. It's twofold. It doesn't mean you're working your way to heaven. It means you accepted the fullness of the decision that you made. See, your eyes were open and you no longer desire to hang out where I'm getting ready to die. I no longer want to drink until I can't walk anymore and then get in a car and drive home. I no longer want to go to a bar to find my next date. I no longer want to meet a bunch of kids late at night that are talking and doing things that I don't need to be a part of. See, I no longer have that desire anymore Because why? Why don't I have that? Because I got saved and I was removed from that. And my salvation meant I don't have to walk in the destruction that some of them are getting ready to walk into. Not only that, I've reestablished a relationship with the one who made me. And I desire to know him more. I want to be a part. If you no longer are headed where you were headed, then your eyes are focused on something different. If you're no longer headed towards destruction, then your eyes are focused somewhere else. You know, it's hard to keep my eyes over here and keep walking this path of destruction. What I'm telling you is you may have looked over here and thought, oh, that's interesting. I know I got to go the other way. But then you turned your eyes right back to the destruction route. At some point, put your eyes here and keep them there, and then you can't help but your feet turn. So but it's a commitment that's got to be made. Let me just make a statement that's all in my words, but I've got it highlighted in my notes because I think it's very important that I say it exactly the way I wrote it, and we'll see if you agree. Many people just repent and go his direction because they feel they have to. But they would have just assumed got their ticket and kept doing exactly what they were doing. Many people only accept Jesus because I'm scared of hell. Many people only accept Christ because of him being available as Savior. But he only was available as Savior so that he could be Lord. And we're making a difference, and there is none. Am I answering the fourth point of where we need to be? We need to leave all this stuff and head towards him. You've been bought with a price. Paul says a bondservant, a slave. That's seeing Jesus as Lord, doing whatever he says when he says it. See, that means nothing if he's not Lord, but it means, okay, well, I did. I accepted him as Savior, and then we don't walk bodily, mind, into the things of God because our spirit's right, and so we'll just be fine, and we let the flesh take over everything. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. Let's do a quick run. A lot of people talk about the Romans road. Let's talk about the Acts road. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of what? The Lord. Somehow we've just kind of missed all these places where the Bible outlines Lord. In the New Testament, over 700 times, he is referred to as Lord. Only 26 times is he referred to as Savior. Because Savior is what he did. Lord is who he needs to be. He was Savior and he is Lord. He saved you from where you were headed. Praise God, he is Savior. But he's Savior so that he can be Lord. And we got to get this. See, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Lordship of Jesus. Acts 15:11. We believe that we are all saved the same way. By the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. Not the Savior, the Lord. That's what it says. He was Savior so that he would be daily Lord. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. It doesn't say we're believing the Savior. It says believe in the Lord. The Lord Jesus. The Lord. There is a difference here. Acts 19:5. Soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Savior. No. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they were baptized to signify that I'm doing away with the old life. I'm not walking in that junk no more. And I'm going to walk under the lordship of Christ. Why? Because Jesus is now Lord. Galatians 2:20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Turn to John chapter 1. We got to go here. Before we end today, John chapter 1. Y'all with me? Yeah. John chapter 1. Verse 1, Some of you I know in here even have this memorized. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So, hear this, the Word became human and made his home among us. The Word became human. The Word became human. You can't separate Jesus from the Word. Jesus is the one that became human, and he was the Word in flesh. You can't separate the Word from Jesus. They're one and the same. Do y'all see this? All right, so we, and everybody can say, well, I agree. Let's look here at verse 12. But to all who believed him and accepted him. Let me read this in the Message. I think it's really important that you get this. In the Message, in the way it's explained, and the more you dive into the Greek, you'll understand this even in a deeper level. Accepted him, we've Englished it. I mean, the English word for accept, we've not understood it from the Greek. Let me read the Message. Whoever did want him, who believed he was who he claimed to be, and would do what he said. Who he claimed to be and would do what he said. Do you believe Jesus do what he said? Do people believe you'll do what he said? Jesus and his word are inseparable. You don't separate Jesus from the word. Church, let me explain that because I think it's really important as we're talking about salvation and Lord. Jesus is Savior, but he's not Savior without being Lord. You don't separate Jesus from the Word. You don't separate the Savior from the Lord. They're one and the same. Now, let me give you the correlation here, because you can't have Jesus as Lord when you say that Jesus is okay with things that the Word says clearly he's not okay with. See, you can't separate them. Well, Jesus is okay with homosexuality. Jesus is the Word. The Word says no, so Jesus says no. But Jesus is okay with two people living together, not being married and going to church. The Word's real clear about what marriage and how it's defined. Can't separate them. Jesus ain't okay with it. Well, he wants you to be saved, yeah. He wants you to be saved so you'd make him Lord and quit living together. Jesus is okay with not talking about him at work or school. Proclaim him everywhere. The high tops, the byways, the mountaintops, everywhere you're. No, Jesus is okay if I'm just kind of quiet about him. You can't separate Jesus and the Word. Y'all see this? I knew it'd be kind of quiet in this Presbyterian church today. But I was sure hoping that I have more agreement. It's not about having a ticket to heaven and then living according to your own desires and wants. Come on. It's not about that. The ticket means you've done away with those desires and wants and submitted to the Lord. That's what salvation is. It doesn't mean that you've got to work to get here. It shows that you accepted him as Lord and Savior, Savior and Lord. You said, I am done away with living a life of destruction, I get heaven. And not only am I done away with that, I'm into the reestablishment. Thank you, Lord. I have a relationship with you. You're going to teach me all things I didn't know, and I'm going to continue to go forward into your way of living. See, when you are Lord of your own life, he can't be. Jesus can't be Savior, not Lord. It's a big statement, but I want you to get it. Genesis 2:15, we're here to tend the garden. What on earth are you doing? I'm here to tend the garden. But while I'm doing that, everybody's got to see that Jesus is not just Savior. And I was saved from hell, but I was saved into heaven, and I was saved into a new life here on earth. That's why Jesus is Lord while we're here, not just when we get to heaven. So that's why we've got Jesus is Lord written across the map of the United States. You live or are somewhere up there. Now, knowing that, then Jesus has got to be Lord while you're here, not he's Lord when you get to heaven. But that's the way a lot of people think. You can't express a precedent in people's lives when it's not a precedent in the church. We can't expect CNN or Fox News to say things according to the word when you don't have a country saying things according to the word that call themselves Christians, when 80% say that they're a Christian yet live according to the dictates and mandates of the world and not the word. Well, Jesus loves everybody. I'm not disputing that, but he hates sin. And why are we okaying it? Well, because Jesus loves so much. And so I don't disagree. He loves you enough to get you out of that. You don't have to live there no more. Matthew 7, verse 21. Is the word Lord of your life? Is a big question that you've got to answer this morning. The word and Jesus are interchangeable because he is the word and the word is him. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will, or let me say, submit to my lordship. Not everyone who calls to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. What's he saying? He is saying that not everyone who claims me as Savior claims me as Lord. Not everybody who says I'm saved is saved. I'm not here to scare you this morning. I'm here to encourage you. If you need to make a change, today be your day. And I'm not having an altar call. I'm not having a hand raise. I'm here to say, if you're ready to make a change, you won't leave this building without saying, I got to know Jesus. I'm turning from this road of disaster, and I'm going where I'm supposed to be. Jesus is getting ready to be Lord. He's no longer just Savior. I'm going to be part of everything going on. I'm going to be a part of what God has for me. When I go to work, when I go to school, people are going to see Jesus on me. Why? Because I'm not the same person anymore. I'm submitted to him. I have a relationship with him. I talk to him day and night. He's not just saving me from disaster, from a little wreck or from a little mess up or from a little thing that I did that I shouldn't have done. He has taken my whole life in a new direction. I don't even walk over there anymore. Praise God, I love you, Lord. See, but that's not how we're walking. We're just trying to avoid the consequences. Young people do that a lot with parents. They're not really submitted to the will of the parents. They're just doing it because they have to. When you're doing it because you have to, you might want to ask, did you really accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Parents, this is a good lesson to teach your kids. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Those are the ones that will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. Performed miracles in your name. But I will reply, I didn't know you. I never knew you. Get away from me. You break God's laws. I'm not interested in you. If today you only know him as Savior, I encourage you, I beg you to understand that he needs to be Lord. Jesus is Lord. Did you get that fourth question answered today? That's the vision for 2016. It took two sermons to get it all out. We're going to have a great time this year. Y'all stand with me this morning. Thank you for being in God's house. I do want to encourage you. I'll be down front. There is a bunch of people who know Jesus as Lord and know enough scripture of how to lead you into an understanding of who Jesus is. It takes an initial stand to say, I am done with the old life. I want to be born again. I want to leave the old way and I want to experience the newness of life. And that will get you a ticket to heaven, but don't do it just for a ticket to heaven. You need to do it because you've reestablished a relationship that was broken and you have a desire for Jesus as Lord.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.